Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Now, this beast gets the same authority as the Antichrist. He gets his authority from the dragon. So there is the connection. This is like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the dragon, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. That's why we call it the unholy trinity. It goes on to say, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed.
Satan is not only the father of lies, he's a copycat. He empowers not only the Antichrist, but the false prophet who comes to introduce the Antichrist to the world and deceive many to follow and eventually worship him. With more from Revelation 13, 11 through 18, and the false prophet explained, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Father, thank you so much for your word. It is rich, it is deep, it is meaningful, it is profound, it is life-changing. It brings a blessing into our lives. Lord, you give us information about this false prophet that helps us with information about other false prophets that are out there today. Well, how we can live our lives so that we are not deceived. We want to make sure that we aren't. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The title of our message today is The False Prophet Explained. Here we get another player in the end days events. The Antichrist is a political leader. The false prophet is a religious leader. And he establishes a world religion around the Antichrist, where people worship him as God. We've seen that unfolding in the first part of this chapter, where the Antichrist receives worship. But as we're going along, we're getting details as to exactly how that happens. Now, we get this false prophet, who is a religious leader, developing this new world religion around a man. Daniel 11:37 says of this man, he shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, but he shall exalt himself above them all. So the Antichrist has a desire, just like the dragon does. Satan, his desire was to be like God. The Antichrist wants to be worshiped as God. Jesus gets worship as God, and I'm going to read you that in just a moment here. But two things in this passage really speak to me. Number one, he shall regard neither the God of his fathers. A lot of people want to identify the Antichrist as the Pope or one of the popes. And throughout the years, there have been many popes that have been identified as being the Antichrist. It cannot be the Pope because he's not going to regard the God of his fathers. It cannot be an imam. We talked about this last week when we talked about the Islamic caliphate and how many people are today believing that it's going to be an imam and it's Islam, that the Antichrist is going to be Islamic. And I don't think it can be because he doesn't regard the God of his fathers. This is a secular work that brings the worship to the Antichrist. He wants to be worshiped just like Jesus was worshiped. And you go, Jesus was worshiped? Yeah, let me show you a few places. Matthew 2:11. And when he had come into the house, this is the wise men coming to the house in Bethlehem. And when they come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when he had opened up their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And that word for worship is used everywhere else as worship. This word is the same word that is used when it says worship God alone. It's the same word that's used, why are you doing this? Why are you worshiping me? Worship God alone, later on in the book of Revelation. Matthew 28:9 says, and as they went to tell the disciples, this is the women at the tomb, and they're leaving now to go tell the disciples that the tomb was empty, and they saw angels who said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? It says, as they went, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. And they came and they held him by the feet and they worshiped him. And in John 9:35 and 38, Jesus heard that the man who had been born blind, that he had healed in Jerusalem. It's interesting, in Jerusalem, we only have two miracles that were done. The lame man at the pool of Bethesda and the blind man who was at the pool of Siloam. The blind man was born blind, received his sight, was interrogated by the Pharisees, eventually was kicked out of the synagogue, excommunicated because he's not telling them what they want to hear. And so Jesus finds him. This is John 9:35 through 38. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he found him, he said to him, Do you believe in the Son of God? This is Jesus. Jesus, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Now, the Antichrist wants to receive worship the same way that we worship Jesus. We quickly recognize the deity of Christ and that we were worshiping Jesus as well. Now, we're told that he receives worship, the Antichrist, in Revelation 13:4. So they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, that's Satan, and they worship the beast, that's the Antichrist, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war against him? Just as the true God and the Son received worship, the false prophet and the dragon want to receive worship as well. Remember that Satan wanted to make his throne as high as God's throne, be like the Most High. And when he tempted Jesus, he said, all the kingdoms of the world have been given to me, and I will give them to you if you bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, it is written, you shall worship God alone, and him alone shall you serve, shall you worship. So in Revelation 13, 11 through 18, we learn what goes on behind the scenes that causes people around the world, every tongue, tribe, and nation, to worship the Antichrist. We pick it up in verse 11 of Revelation 13. It says, then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. The first beast had come out of the sea. This one comes out of the earth. Now, the sea in the Bible represents humanity, the sea of humanity. So the Antichrist is going to come out of the Gentile world. He's going to come out of the sea. The word here for earth, literally in the Greek, is out of the land. And the reference, the land, is often a reference to the land of Israel. He came out of the land. And so there are those who believe that this false prophet is Jewish, that you've got a Gentile from somewhere connected with Rome, because he's from the people who destroyed the city of Jerusalem, made a peace treaty, so he's somehow connected with Rome. They're the ones who destroyed the city, and he made a peace treaty with them. And this one comes out of the land, maybe Jewish, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. So when this beast comes up out of the land, he has two horns like a lamb, but talks like a dragon. He is like a wolf in sheep's clothing on steroids. So the Bible warns us of wolves in sheep's clothing, people that look like they're sheep. They come in among us, but really they're predators. They want to prey. They want things for themselves. And when we're taught about these false prophets who are wolves in sheep's clothing, that we should identify them, see them, and know them, that they're coming in with one pretense and they're being someone else. This one comes as a lamb, a sheep, and a lamb are instruments of sacrifices. And that's what a teacher, a leader, a pastor, an elder is supposed to do. They're supposed to sacrifice for those that they're caring for. But a wolf is a predator who's doing things for himself. He's doing it out of selfish ambition. Well, this is a lamb that has two horns. The horns would be the power of a lamb. Horns in the Bible represent power. And the lamb is an animal that is to be sacrificed. But the irony is that he speaks like a dragon. This lamb that's supposed to give sacrifices speaks like a dragon instead. Now, Jesus said, when his disciples asked him, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of the coming? Your coming. Jesus said, take heed that you are not deceived. For many deceivers have gone out into the world. He points that between now and when this happens, there are going to be many deceivers. And oftentimes you listen to them, you hear them, they're polished speakers. They quote the word of God. They talk about enthusiasm and happiness and all kinds of, you listen, you go, you know what, I like that. That's because the Bible says in the last days, we're going to heap up teachers who will tickle our ears. And then Jesus said, you take heed that you're not deceived. You have the responsibility not to be deceived. The devil himself shows up as an angel of light, the Bible says. How much more his ministers, his false prophets, look good, talk good. And here we have a false prophet who is going to deceive the entire world. This is a worldwide deception that follows after this lamb that talks like a dragon. It says in verse 12, and he exercises all of the authority of the first beast in his presence. We read earlier that the first beast, the Antichrist, gets his power from the dragon. And really, he's a reflection of the dragon. just like Jesus is a reflection of the Father, or Jesus is the same as the Father, me and my Father are one, so the Antichrist and the devil are one as well. When you see one, you see the other. Their characteristics are the same. The Antichrist is a liar from the beginning. Satan's a liar from the beginning, so on. Now, this beast gets the same authority as the Antichrist. He gets his authority from the dragon. So there is the connection. This is like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the dragon, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. That's why we call it the unholy Trinity. It goes on to say, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now we learned about that again in the first part of this chapter, that one of the heads on the first beast had 7 heads and 10 horns, right? Which looks weird. If you've ever seen people try to draw it out in pictures, by the way, it looks really weird. But we want things all organized. How can you have 10 horns and 7 heads? Come on, how does that work? So 10 horns, 7 heads, but one of the heads is wounded. And remember last week we talked about how when we're talking about the Antichrist, there can be a conflation between his kingdom and the Antichrist. So that is he talking about the kingdom or is he talking about the Antichrist? Well, now we learn clearly it's talking about the Antichrist, because the false prophet causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So here we got a person who is being worshiped, and the Antichrist causes the whole world to believe in him. What a deceiver that he can take someone like the Antichrist and he can cause the whole world to believe in him. And it's connected to this deadly wound, which we talked about last week being like the resurrection. I don't know that the devil has the power to resurrect someone, but this is as close as he can get, a deadly wound that is healed. And when people see this Antichrist come on the scene with a deadly wound that's healed, then they worship him. And now we know it's the false prophet that's making that happen. Now, verse 13, here we get more of it. How does he do that? How does he make the whole earth worship the Antichrist? Verse 13, he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs, which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. So when the beast was with him, he was able to call fire down from heaven. Now, I don't know how far out in the future this is. Maybe it's close, but even if it's close and we get a one world government, we get the great reset, we get the one world government, the Antichrist comes on the scene, the world's broken up into 10 different parts, he receives a wound, he recovers from that wound, looks like it's gonna kill him, he receives it, and now he's got a religious leader next to him because he does this in the presence of the beast. And he calls fire down from heaven, and fire comes down from heaven, and everybody in the world or people from all nations, tribes, tongues, and languages are watching this on television. They're able to see it happen and then watch it happen again on Twitter, on Instagram. Am I right? I mean, he would do this thing, and then it would be like, did you hear about this? And you would see it on the nightly news. It would make the cycles on all of the news shows that are on there. And the whole world goes, this must be the one to worship. He's going to be our savior. He's going to be the one who rescues us. And they begin to worship the Antichrist because of the miracles that are here. Now we think, and this is interesting, the timing, because we talked about miracles this last weekend. We talked about how God used miracles to point us to certain times in the scriptures. Moses, when the law was given, Elijah and Elisha for the prophets, Jesus for the time of the Messiah and the work of the Messiah. The apostles did miracles to show that they could write the New Testament. And so we talked about miracles being a sign that pointed us in a direction that we would investigate. That's what miracles were. Miracles were the sign that said slippery when wet, or be careful, you know, curve ahead. They're the sign that causes us to look for something else, you know, elk crossing, whatever it is. And so when we see the miracles in the Bible, they are never miracles to prove that Jesus is the Messiah. They are miracles to look closer for the evidence that Jesus is the Messiah, because it's possible there are lying wonders. And so we test all things. Listen to what it says about the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 and 10. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. Him coming to power will be by the work of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Because they didn't have a love for the truth, they saw the signs that the false prophet did and they received the Antichrist. But listen to what 1 Thessalonians tells us. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from evil. We are supposed to test everything. No pastor, no teacher worth his salt will tell you not to check out what he says. If you're listening to someone and they say, don't you check out what I'm saying, I'm telling you the truth. Or misusing the term, don't touch God's anointed, right? They do a teaching and then you say, you know what, that's a false teaching. And then they're like, you better watch it, don't you touch God's anointed. I'm not. If I did, I'd have a sword in my hand. Because that's what David meant when he said, I won't touch the God's anointed, right? He didn't mean I won't talk bad about it, I won't say what he's doing is wrong. He meant I'm not gonna run him through with a sword. I won't touch God's anointed. He had two opportunities to kill him. And he said, I won't touch God's anointed. And so they teach false teachings. When people call them on the false teachings, they say, don't you touch God's anointed, which is misusing a phrase. And the Bible tells us to test all things. Test what they're saying. And when they get mad, I've even heard a false teacher say things like this. People have questioned what I've said and they've died for it. God dropped them dead for it because they questioned what I said. That's exactly how they said it too, by the way. Might be built to who I'm talking like, actually, as I do it. But we are to test. I have no problem when you come up to me or you leave me a message that says, you taught this, and I don't know if that's true because of this, this, and this. I actually like it because you're diving in and you're questioning it. You're going, I need to test this. And any pastor, again, that's worth his salt wants their people to test it. That you would be a good Berean, receive the word of God with all joy, but search the scriptures to make sure these things are true. And if you do that, you will not be deceived, right? And so we want to study the scriptures to be able to tell it. And even though there might be miracles, the miracles just point us to whether or not, well, point us to an area to investigate, not whether or not it's true. That's not the sign. The Bible never says you will know it's true by the signs. We know it's true by the word of God and the clear teaching, dividing the word of God properly and correctly to be able to receive the word of God. Now it goes on in verse 14. It says, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would worship the image of the beast to be killed. Now, the Antichrist asks the people of the earth to make an image. He doesn't make an image. He asks them to make an image. Now, I can't help but look at this through the lens of where we are now. Now, the Lord might not come back for, as I said, for 100 years. So technology may be a lot different in 100 years. In 100 years, we might look at this and go, yeah, I know exactly what he's asking him to do. It might fit really cleanly, but to me, it looks like he's asking the world to make an image, a robot, and then life is going to be given to it to be able to speak. It seems an awful lot like AI, right? And I can't imagine that anybody teaching this passage today doesn't bring up AI, artificial intelligence, right? Artificial general intelligence is when they become aware of themselves. And that's what we're warned against, right? That we're making AI, we're going to put them into robots eventually, and the AI in the robots could eventually wipe out mankind. And I heard Elon Musk talking about this, of course, right? Elon Musk. And this is the first time I've ever used Elon Musk from the pulpit, all right? But I heard Elon Musk talking about AGI, artificial general intelligence, becoming self-aware. And he said that is probably not gonna happen. That it doesn't mean we won't get wiped out by it. It doesn't mean that AI left alone. You know, the Bible says that God had to shorten the days because no flesh would remain on the earth. I always think of a nuclear war when I think of that. But how do we know that the Terminator, you know, movie wasn't right all along and that they were gonna get us? And here's what Elon Musk said. It's nothing personal if AI gets intelligence and decides to wipe out mankind. It's like us building a road, he said, and there's an ant in the middle of the road, an anthill. We don't have nothing against those ants, but we're gonna build a road. And they're in our way and we're gonna kill them. So the example that is used is this. You have a robot now, and you are giving prompts to the robot, because that's what you do now with general intelligence, right? Whatever, with AI, you give it prompts and it gives you back whatever you're looking for. So you have a robot, you give it a prompt, make the best paperclip in the world. So it starts running calculations. It starts getting this information. It's trying to find out everything that it can find. This particular robot has access to the internet, access to the newest information that's out there, access to highly classified information that we don't have. And it's gonna make the best paperclip that's out there. And it decides the best way to make the best paperclip that's out there is to kill all the humans on the earth. Nothing personal. It's just been programmed to make the best paperclip. It just so happens making the best paperclip is no humans. So that's the way that it said that it would eventually come about, that, you know, you would get something that's like this. Now, here's the thing. AI is nowhere near what they say it is today. They are overselling you on ChatGPT. When you're giving your prompts, they're giving you back programmed information. GPT-3 especially doesn't even have access to the internet. It's just information that's been compiled with. And so you ask it for something and it gives you something back. And it is, I don't know if infamous is probably the right word, for giving you back the information of the programmers who programmed it. So in other words, it's a highly woke culture that made ChatGPT, and what you get back is highly woke answers to it. And when you start trying to prompting it to why did you answer it in this way, then it will eventually come back to, I'm sorry that maybe I didn't give the right answer, and it starts doing those things. And, you know, famously, wrong answers, slanderous answers, famously. So we need to be careful with it because it's being oversold at this point. It isn't where we think it is, at least not the stuff that's available to us. Maybe the stuff that's being done now behind the scenes, maybe that is, but this is not. Could this be robot with AI that becomes self-aware, that gives commands to kill people who don't worship it? Could it be just an AI that isn't aware, but is just going through its program? And when someone won't bow down and worship, it gives a command for them to be killed. Yes, could be that. Could it be something else? Yes. Would I bet my house that this is AI? No. If it's 100 years in the future, what kind of technology are we gonna have? Remember when barcodes first came on the scene? You guys Christian when that happened? And people start talking about the barcodes, the mark of the beast. In every barcode is 666. Look it up. Look it up. There's 666 in every barcode. It's the mark of the beast. Credit cards. Credit cards, you got a number. It's going to be a cashless society. You're just going to get a card. It's going to have a number. You're not going to be able to buy or sell anything without a number. It's credit cards. I've had people tell me, I'm not taking a credit card. It's the mark of the beast. Whatever technology it is, and it probably is a technology, the mark of the beast. Whatever technology it is, you're not gonna take it by accident. They're not all of a sudden gonna go, all you guys with credit cards, you taking the mark of the beast now. Because what happens to the people that take the mark of the beast? They're unable to be saved. Once they give their allegiance to the Antichrist, that's it. It will not be by accident.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sundays at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, We'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.